Well, across the country, Black and brown people are disproportionately contracting and dying from COVID-19. In Chicago, 70% of those who have died are Black, a pattern we're seeing in places like Detroit, New Orleans, and Milwaukee. And in New York City, the hardest hit areas are in the Bronx, Brooklyn, and Queens, largely Black and Latino neighborhoods. For more on this, we're joined now by Dr. Uche Blackstock. She's an urgent care doctor for clinics in Brooklyn and founder of Advancing Health Equity. And doctor, I know that you have been very busy in your clinic, so we appreciate you taking the time. But first off, can you tell us more about the people coming into your clinics for care?
Sure. Over the last few weeks, we've definitely noticed sicker and sicker patients. Typically in urgent care, we see patients presenting with pretty simple complaints, sore throat, a cut on the leg, but we've been seeing patients complaining of shortness of breath and chest tightness. And in the areas I work in central Brooklyn, I've noticed definitely a demographic change in who we're seeing. We're seeing more Black and brown patients. We're seeing a lot of people who are essential workers, who work for the city, for the police department, or the MTA, the subway and bus system. And we're seeing a lot of service workers as well.
COVID-19, of course, does not discriminate. We're all equally susceptible. But it's not, as some say, a societal equalizer. You've already seen evidence that this pandemic is impacting Black and Latino communities, as you mentioned, who you're seeing coming in this clinic. But there are also other things. The ability to get tested is one.
Absolutely. And even when the initial testing criteria came out from the CDC, it required that a patient had visited one of the areas where COVID-19 was endemic, so China or Italy, or required you to have known someone who had tested positive or been close to them. And we knew very early on that really excluded a lot of patients, especially low-income patients. And what we're slowly finding out is that coronavirus had been circulating in those communities for weeks, but had gone undetected because they weren't being tested.
You argue that in addition to implicit bias within medicine, this health crisis is about structural racism. Can you say more about why we're seeing hot zones in predominantly Black and brown communities in New York and beyond?
So absolutely. So we know, and there is tons of data to support this, that we have pre-existing racialized health disparities. So Black patients often have the highest rates of obesity, asthma, hypertension, diabetes. Those are all actually risk factors for developing serious complications of COVID-19. And the reasons why that population has high rates of those chronic diseases is that a result of lack of access to care. Black people have some of the highest uninsurance rates. Also, just lack of quality, receiving quality care. The hospitals in minority neighborhoods have been well documented to provide lower quality care. And then also patients have to, when they interface with the healthcare system, often Black and brown patients must face implicit bias on the part of providers. So there's so many layers that are contributing to these inequities that we're seeing.
Doctor, you know, as you're stating right now, this isn't just a New York story. We're seeing it in Milwaukee, in Detroit, in Chicago. You know, but still the CDC, which normally tracks pandemics through age and location and race, they've not been publicly tracking race in this instance. Congressional
right.
Democrats have asked Health and Human Services to publicly release this data. What are your thoughts on this?
Oh, no, definitely. This is absolutely mandatory. We are in unprecedented times. We are in essentially a crisis. And we already see from the preliminary data in some of the locations that you mentioned that Black people are overrepresented in terms of the COVID-19 cases and mortality. And so it would behoove all of the states, the Department of Health, to release this data immediately. The reason why it's important is because we need to know how do we equitably allocate healthcare resources. So communities need more healthcare workers, right? Which communities need more ventilators? And that will enable us really to be able to care for each community in an equitable fashion.
If you are a person of color, how can you advocate for your health? If you're hearing this, if you've experienced it yourself where you've gone to try to get a test and you can't, what are some recommendations from you?
So that's such an important question. I always say to bring a family member or a close friend with you just to help advocate on your part. And so now we do know that with the pandemic, visitors are not often allowed in urgent cares or in the emergency department with patients. And so we have technology so we can have, you can have loved ones call and speak to the doctors on your behalf if you're not feeling well. So that's super important. Another thing is just to try to learn as much as possible about what's going on with this disease, know about the symptoms so that you can advocate for yourself. And I will also say, you know, definitely there is only so much that as a patient that you can do. Definitely, as I mentioned before, there are structural barriers, but at least you have those tools in your pocket to help advocate on your behalf.
I'm thinking about you. You're on the front lines. You have known, as you said, we've known for a long time about how structural racism impacts the health of people of color. You're a Black woman. How are you doing through all of this as you go to the clinic day in and day out?
I will admit this is probably one of the most difficult experiences of my career. I mean, I even have some mentors who've been practicing emergency medicine for 35 plus years, and they say they've never seen anything like this. For the first time ever, I have fear about going to work because I obviously don't want to catch coronavirus. I don't want to bring it home to my family. I have two small children, and so I have concerns about that. I have concerns about my loved ones, and I have concerns about my patients, just seeing my patients suffer and to know that a lot of the suffering was largely preventable is incredibly painful. So, you know, I'm just trying to take each day at a time and trying to find the silver lining in this crisis right now.
That's Dr. Uche Blackstock, clinical doctor in Brooklyn and founder of Advancing Health Equity. Thank you for your work.
Thank you for having me.